Please rise. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty God, through the preaching of your servants, the blessed reformers, you caused the light of the gospel to shine forth. Grant that we may faithfully defend it against all enemies and joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of people everywhere, to the glory of your holy name, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson is from the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk, beginning in the first verse. I will stand watch and set myself on the rampart, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from the book, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning the 37th verse.
Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth.
And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms first of such things as you have, and indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our next hymn is, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Please rise. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death and lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true.
You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Salvation Unto Us Has Come, and we will rise for the final stanza in honor of our triune God.
Thank you. mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider on this Reformation Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Paul writes, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with the incomparable gifts of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation, dear fellow redeemed. Reformation Day is an occasion worthy of celebration and thanksgiving to the Lord. We rejoice and give thanks on this special day because this is the anniversary of the Reformation movement of the 16th century, in which the gospel of Christ, which had long been obscured and perverted, was by the grace of God brought to the light of day and proclaimed both far and wide, even to this day. That wonderful rediscovered message is the good news of God's gracious gift of salvation to sinful man through Jesus Christ. The apostle makes known these glad tidings in his letter to the Romans, where he writes, "But now the righteousness from God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." All mankind, without exception, have sinned against God and are therefore deserving of eternal wrath and condemnation in hell. But God has shown his grace and mercy to us in Jesus. Instead of condemning the world eternally in hell, our Heavenly Father, in his infinite, unmerited love, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make full atonement for all sins of the whole world. On the basis of Jesus' redemptive work alone, sinners are justified before God. That is, God has declared us righteous before him, holy, without any sin or blame on our souls, holy, and have been forgiven of all of our sins through Jesus. This wonderful blessing of forgiveness and finally eternal salvation in heaven through Jesus is a gift. The gift of grace, freely given without any merit or worthiness in us. We received and enjoyed the full benefit of all this when we were led by the Spirit of God to repent of our sins and to believe on Jesus as our Savior. Having tasted of this sweet, mindful of these priceless treasures found in and received through the gospel, we rejoice and give thanks to God, not only for uncovering the gospel truths and making them widely known in the Reformation period, but also for making it possible for many later, many, many years later, up to this day, to be partakers of the spiritual, eternal blessings of saving grace in Christ. For in order to ensure that we and many others might be partakers of the spiritual and eternal blessings of the gospel, down through the centuries of time, God caused his word of life to be proclaimed and his holy sacraments to administered so that people in every generation of time might come to know and believe in our Savior Jesus. Having tasted of the sweet gospel of Jesus, of salvation through grace, through faith in him, we cannot help but be filled with amazement as to how the gospel could be lost. The scripture text before us today helps us to better understand how such a great tragedy took place, and at the same time, help us to guard against losing it for ourselves in this day. The Epistle to the Galatians was an inspired letter written by the Apostle Paul to a number of Christian congregations in the Asia Minor province of Galatia. Galatians were first introduced to the gospel when Paul made his second missionary journey. And then, now, he made a second trip to these congregations in Galatia to try to fortify and strengthen their knowledge and their faith in the gospel of Christ. However, much to Paul's amazement and consternation, a short time later, he learned that the churches in Galatia were in the process of sliding down the slippery slope of losing those gospel truths. This was due in part to a certain group of false teachers known as Judaizers, who had worked their way into these congregations in Galatia. They were Jews who believed that Jesus did, through his death, paid for human sins, but then they also added to that, in order for you to be saved, you have to observe the laws of Moses, like observe those different Jewish festivals like the Passover, and don't eat pork, have your male children circumcised, along with all the other laws of Moses. This human scheme of salvation was the misbelief that a person is saved through faith in Jesus plus human works of the law. But this teaching was in direct contradiction to what the Apostle Paul had taught them and revealed to them in Holy Scripture. He said, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Any room there for adding works of the law to contribute to our salvation? No, apart from the works of the law." Paul also made known that if anyone depended upon their works for their salvation, they would have to keep all those laws perfectly, without fail, throughout their life. Otherwise, he'd come under God's curse. Paul writes in this regard, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" In spite of this testimony of Paul, the Judaizers were able to convince the Galatian congregations to listen to them rather than Paul. How so? Well, they convinced him Paul really wasn't an apostle sent by Christ, and therefore they shouldn't give any credence, don't listen to what he said to you or believe in it. The Judaizers also deceived the people by using some of the same Christian terms that were used by Paul. They said their teachings, which were basically work righteousness, is the gospel. Another likely reason for the ready reception of their teachings of work righteousness is that it's appealing to the human pride. Sinful pride can cause us to think that we can contribute to our own salvation, either in part or in whole, by performing works that will make us acceptable to God. This scenario was not too much different from what happened in the Christian church in the days leading up to the Reformation. There too, certain religious teachers had perverted the gospel of Christ by introducing work righteousness in the church. However, instead of questioning Paul's apostleship like the Judaizers did, they added to Scripture their own teaching, their own human teachings to the Bible, and misinterpreted Paul's divine teachings of the gospel. An example of this was their teaching on purgatory, which is not found in the Bible, but was dreamt up in human minds. This is based on the belief that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't pay for all of your sins. There's still some sins that he didn't take care of that you're going to have to take care of by meritorious religious rites. And if you're not successful in making satisfaction for those sins, after you die, you end up in purgatory. And there you suffer punishment for long periods of time until you finally are released from purgatory and can go to heaven. But then they said, in order to help your relatives, your dear loved ones, to get out of purgatory a little sooner, you can say, pay us some money and we'll say some masses for you. What a dreadful thing. Dreadful. This is very much like the false teachings of the Judaizers, who believe that a person is saved through faith in Christ and also by the works of the law, keeping the laws of Moses. In addition to the spiritually destructive teaching of work righteousness by the Judaizers in the Catholic Church, we also find evidence of this in some liberal Protestant churches today. These are the very churches that are supposed to be the heirs of the Blessed Reformation. But just as the Judaizers in the Catholic Church have caused the loss of the gospel, so also liberal Protestant churches. Their loss of the gospel came about when they said, not everything in the Bible is God's word. What you find written by the Apostle Paul, you don't have to accept that, all of it or in part, as God's word. Now, if you studied the epistles, the letters of Paul, you will find that they are full of the message of God's saving grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Because of their unwillingness to accept all the revelations in the Bible as God's word, the sad outcome is the compromise of the gospel. They either teach that a person is saved by some of his works or all of his works, some or in part. You're saved by cooperating with God, meeting him halfway. You do your part and God does his part. Sounds like work righteousness, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul has some strong words of warning for anyone promoting a false gospel, saying, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. What's he saying? Let them be cast into hell. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul's words of condemnation for those who preach a false gospel, because their faulty teachings can cause people to lose what Jesus has done for them. The responsibility for the Galatians going down the path that led to the loss of the gospel was not just simply only because of the Judaizers. Those congregations invited them into their midst, and they sat and listened to them. So they share in the blame. And Paul said of them, I marvel that you are turning, that is, you are permitting yourself to be turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So it was the Galatians who welcomed the Judaizers into their midst and lent a willing ear to their teachings, in spite of the fact that those teachings ran completely contrary to what Paul had taught them. Like the Galatians, Christians in every generation can become prey for false teachers and eventually lose the gospel if they're not vigilant, watchful guardians of the Christian beliefs and allow themselves to fall into the spirit of complacency or apathy. Many are the teachings of the Bible to watch out, keep your eyes open for any who would come to you with teachings that are contrary to God's word. Don't sit at their feet and listen to them, but that rather the Lord says avoid them. In order that we might be able to detect false teachings and retain the precious gospel truths and be saved, the Lord instructs us to diligently continue to read, study, hear, and meditate on the words and teachings of Christ. It is not just simply enough for us to, as children, to learn those basic truths of the Christian church and then just stop studying what God has revealed to us. We need to look again and again and again to retain those truths. God has graciously blessed us with a wonderful heritage of the Reformation movement by delivering to us the gospel of salvation and by creating faith in our hearts to believe it. May God help us by his grace and mercy to retain those truths for our eternal salvation. And may he help us share that message with others who all would listen. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a wonderful hymn penned by Martin Luther, found in page 9 and 10 of the bulletin. In addition to our Reformation prayer, we'd like to offer up a prayer of thanks and praise to God on behalf of Warren and Joy Malek, who this weekend are observing their 50th wedding anniversary. Our gracious God, who has ordained marriage for the good of humankind and blessed it unto this day, a half a century ago you saw fit to join Warren and Joy Malek as husband and wife. We thank you for so richly blessing the long life they've shared. In your goodness, you have preserved the marriage as a holy and honorable union. You have kept them in sickness and in health and provided for their livelihood. You have supplied them with strength to carry on their physical task, enabling them to care for themselves. You have sustained them so that they could be a help and comfort to each other these many years. Above all, you have blessed them both with saving faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Through the Holy Spirit, you have helped them found a Christian home where you reign with love and forgiveness. A home whose foundation rests upon the blessed hope of everlasting life through faith in Jesus. We praise you for your mercy and goodness. Through the Holy Spirit, help them fight the good fight of faith to the end, that they may both lay hold of eternal life to which you've called them. We commend them, together with ourselves, to your gracious mercy and loving care for time and eternity. We pray this in the blessed name of our Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord God of hosts, through your Holy Spirit, you have called your people by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and gathered them into the fellowship of your name. Accept our humble and earnest thanks for your continual watchfulness over your church. Defend her from the assaults of our ancient enemy, the devil, and from all the enemies of your word and will. Deliver her from the error of false prophets and from the corruption of evil shepherds. Rescue her during the times of persecution, peril, and oppression. Lord of our life, we praise you especially at this Reformation observance, when your church was held in chains by the words and works of men, and her light had fallen low. You have revived her by raising up mighty men of faith to lead your people back to the true teachings of the Holy Scriptures. A heartfelt thanks to you that you preserve for us the true teaching of salvation as a free gift of your grace apart from the works of the law. We give you our praise for the sure and certain witness of the divinely inspired word of the Bible, a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, which is the only true source of your divine teaching. Grant to us, O God of our salvation, that being justified freely by grace, we may always trust in your loving kindness, putting our full confidence in your full forgiveness for all our sins in Christ. Move us now to live in the Spirit, so that we show forth all godliness, faith, love, and hope. The Lord of the living harvest, send forth laborers into your harvest field to proclaim your word to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever you have commanded. Save your church from false teaching and from unnecessary divisions. Give to all believers vision, faithfulness, and zeal, that we may fulfill your will for our lives and serve as your ambassadors for the advancement of your kingdom. God of all comfort, we commend to your loving care our homes and families. Where there is sin, create clean hearts. Where there is grief and sorrow, grant the consolation of your love. Where there's trouble, bring healing. Where there's temptation and trial, impart a love of righteousness and godly trust. Where there is fear, give the courage of your presence. And where there is pain, impart strength and wholeness. Be for us our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Eternal Father, strong to save, pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may believe with all our hearts in your beloved Son, trust in him fully, live for him faithfully, and finally be received into your eternal presence to live forever with you and all your people forever. This we pray in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Continue with the singing of the next hymn, 582. Please be seated. Good morning. We'll welcome our guests, and they ask if you would to sign our guest book in the entryway. Some announcements. Following the service today, we'll have our voters' call meeting in the fellowship hall, which I do not believe will take real long. And then there will be a fellowship meal after that. Next weekend, please take note that daylight savings time is coming to an end. Going to get darker in the evening. Turn your clocks back. Next Sunday, we'll be observing the worship service with Holy Communion, and the choir will begin rehearsing a Thanksgiving song. Please note that on November 10th, there will be another voters' meeting at which we'll be electing officers. In your mailbox, there are November calendars. There are also some calendars on the table in the entryway. And so may God in his grace be with you always. Oh, another announcement.
In addition to Reformation, October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Ah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.